The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I showed you I got the hands, but I want a title shot. That's what I want.
Curtis Blaydes, everybody.
Oh, this could be it. Do it. Hurricane Shane Burgos is a problem.
Game plan was to do that, sprawl and brawl, and I knew my cardio was going to be way better than his. I knew he was going to gas himself out, so it went almost coordinated to him.
Shane Burgos, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I hope my internet connection is good. Matt and I will be joined today by Curtis Blaydes. Curtis Blaydes has been on such a fucking nice run since that last Ngannou loss. He's looked incredible. Two second round TKOs after a decision win, and we also have
Shane Burgos. Champion, by the way, but you know, he took out Junior Dos Santos.
Junior Dos Santos, yeah, he really did.
Former champion. You know, the only The only hiccup, couple of hiccups, is when he runs into Francis.
That's a big hiccup.
That's his only two losses, man.
And that was the last one was just, look, anybody who gets caught by Francis seems to go to sleep. And he had a very impressive decision over Justin Willis. Abdurakhimov, he stopped in the second round as well. So, I mean, he's him and JDS in a row. So whatever was going on with Curtis, maybe he just got caught because he's looked great in his last three fights.
First of all, I like Curtis Blaydes. That's who I like.
Me too.
And I like that he's headlining. He's an entertaining fighter. Think about that elbow that he took out Overeem with. Oh, let me refresh your memory, Jimmy.
Yeah,
he took him down. He got in his guard, and he dropped the most nastiest of elbows.
Yep.
On and he took out Overeem.
That was right before his Ngannou loss.
Yeah, man. And then Overeem's like, you know what? I'm going to train with this guy.
Yeah.
now they're training together. And I also, before we got on, I was catching up on Shane Burgos because we haven't seen him in a hot minute.
We have not.
You know?
No.
And the last time I seen him was at Madison Square Garden fighting. And he was fighting Amir Khani, I believe. That's his name. And I'll tell you, he had to persevere because he dealt with a very tough first round of just being this guy. Americani was just all over him, looking to just take him to the mat, and he did, and had him in some tough positions. But then Burgos just clearly lost the first round because the guy was all on top of him. But you started to see a shift in momentum towards the end of that round because Americani just kept his foot on the pedal during that whole round, looking to take him down and take him out. That Shane Burgos came back, won the second round, and he put him away, Jimmy, in the third round with like 29 seconds left. He ended it. Yes!
Yep.
I got psyched, Jimmy. I got psyched. I watched it just now. Could you notice?
Yes.
Jimmy, I got some personal stuff to talk about. When are we?
Sure.
Well, I have a minute. So should I start now or should I stall? Should I keep people?
Well, we have 1 minute, so you could either talk about something personal or I could fuck twice. It's up to you.
Come on, Jimmy. Don't come at me like that. Do you hit me with like a back fist out of nowhere with your fucking... This might be just another side gig for you, but this might be actually my therapy session is how I treat it. And you're my fucking therapist. So listen. No, Jimmy, this is the thing. Bro. You know, I have my jiu-jitsu school since 2001. Yes. You understand? Like, Well, I started with a nice small school, and then I opened up another school in Suffolk County in Huntington, and then I upgraded both of those schools to both of them, like over 12,000 square feet, like both beautiful schools, you know? And this is all me. I was never given a dime. I didn't have a rich pappy. I didn't fucking, nobody gave me nothing. No loans, no nothing. All literally from my fighting. Literally. I mean, that's how I got it. I got it from my fighting. And I put into my schools because, not because, oh man, I'm going to make $1 million with these schools. And that's great. I want to make a living. But when I knew that, all right, I can't fight forever. I know that. What do I want to do when it's over? I know what I want to do. I want to keep doing what I've been doing for the last 20 years, and that's jiu-jitsu. And the atmosphere in my schools, the camaraderie there, it's a beautiful place. I'm sure you've seen on Instagram how everybody's having a good time. Jimmy, it's what I like to do. It's not for me a job. So, by no fault of my own, it's not a lack of students. It's not a lack of enthusiasm.
Right.
It is, you know, very upsetting. I mean, in the long run, it's going to be better, I feel. But, you know, my Sarah BJJ in Levittown, New York, I got to close down, Jimmy. I got to close it down. Starting, this is the thing. This is my dilemma. The good news is I have a Huntington. My Huntington school is huge. Whenever we have seminars and stuff, we go there. Whenever, it's like the headquarters. It is a huge academy, beautiful academy. And the landlord there is very cool. I can have a conversation with him one-on-one, you know. The other guy that I had, Jimmy, is the same landlord I had for 19 years. Because when I upgraded my school right over Wantagh Parkway, my little school, up to the bigger school, up right over like a little bridge and close by, it's the same landlord. I never once had a conversation with the guy. I've been, you know, you deal with the strip manager and this one and that one. And I'm going to be honest with you, not the best of, I'm not crazy about the way they run operations, whether it's fixing leaks or helping stiffen me with that or whatever it is. We didn't, but in 19 years, I'm not missing rent. So now this fucking thing happens. And Jimmy, I'm not legally allowed to teach jiu-jitsu right now. I'm not.
That's right.
I'm not allowed, but I am totally responsible to pay, in that spot it's $10,000 every month I got to pay. So right now, Jimmy, I've been closed down for 3 months, no revenue coming in, everybody's freezing or canceling, whatever, I understand, sure. I know it's hard times, I'm not getting on anybody, I understand. But yet, it's been 3 months, I owe $30,000. So, you know, I wait till July, when are we going to be able to open? Now, and this is what it goes back to, that hypocritical shit with the fucking governor and whatnot, where it's okay. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for people's rights. Protests, that's fine. But you're not letting us make a living. You're afraid of people's safety, but yet you're totally fine with this because you don't want to look bad for whatever reason or whatever. I think the guy's a jerk off anyway. But that's, I'm just, you know, it's upsetting because, like I said, I get to put all my eggs in one basket where I get to be at one spot. I feel that school's been, I've been neglecting it because a lot of times I've been at the Levittown school more and, you know, it's hard to be everywhere.
Sure.
But we still have a home is what the good news is. But, you know, I'm calling my old school guys this, you know, today and yesterday, and I got to let them know, man, because you know why? You get a lot of memories there.
Yeah, of course.
And I got guys who are with me for 19 years, man, for 15 years, for 10 years. And they've all, like, you know, so they're so used to, like, that being their home. But this is the analogy I'll give. Jimmy, the great, great movie. Great movie. I'm sure you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Instant classic. Thor Ragnarok. Have you seen that movie?
I have not, but I've been saving it for the pandemic. So I have things to look forward to.
It's a great movie, though. It is. I wasn't crazy about the other Thors. But listen, not to spoil it for you. At the end of the movie, though, Asgard. Jim, you heard of Asgard? Thor's planet. Listen.
Sure.
Spoiler alert. It came out fucking 5 years ago. But spoiler alert. Asgard, at the end of the movie, ruined. Blown up! So all the Asgardians got on a fucking big spaceship and now a home! And then Thor had to remind them, hey, listen, I think it was Thor said, Asgard is with its people. You understand? Where the people, that's it. So Sarah BJJ Wait, don't feel like, oh man, oh no, we, hey man, listen, I don't know when the fuck we're opening. I owe this guy 30, right. I'm gonna wait 3 months and I'm gonna owe him 60K. Fuck that
Matt,
shit.
Matt, let me ask you a question. Like I don't know the answer to this.
Jenny, I feel like I'm getting bent over. So I'm like,
wait,
you know
they
what?
Don't. They don't have. They have. They don't give you a break on the rent. Like, well, I know this is, this with is what kicking this is. People out.
No,
they
Jimmy,
won't give you a break, knowing.
This, well, this is the break. The break is that I don't have to do it in a lump sum. Let's say I have to pay it off over 24 months. But still, I'm still getting in a fucking hole for 30 grand, and I have to pay that off. So it will up my monthly rent every month.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to mention, after what we're going through, one, I don't know how long we're going to be closed. So another 3-4 months is another 30, 40 sure. grand. I mean,
right.
So what am I going to owe this guy? I got to. So there's that. And then when I do open up, I know people are going to be wanting the train, but it might take a hit. So, I mean,
yeah, for a little
between
while.
Those schools, am I going to be spending 21K a month? Or am I cutting my shit in half and saying, you know what? I got a guy at least. Listen, I know I haven't been in the business, in the building over at Huntington either, but that guy I could work with. All right, you want to work with me? All right, yeah. Here's a thing for half. I cut that guy a check for half I owe him. It's still a lot of money. And I'm not even in there. But I understand he owes the bank. I'm a guy you could work with. But it doesn't sit right with me, Jimmy, that I'm paying to rent out a place. And now I'm not legally allowed to be in that spot, but yet I still have to pay rent. Go
that
fuck
is
yourself.
Crazy.
Go fuck yourself.
I agree.
This is what happens to all the small businesses, man. You know?
I know.
I mean, and, you know,
it's unreasonable.
I am very thankful and very grateful that I have a 12,000 square foot facility, a beautiful school in Huntington, Long Island, where we will still have a home. And again, Jimmy, this is my retirement. My retirement is hanging out, talking to you, doing some shit with Dana. We're looking for a fight. And most importantly, I'm going to say, is teaching the beautiful art of jiu-jitsu that I've done for 20 years, and I'm going to do it for easily I'm doing it for the next one. What's up, Curtis Blades?
It is hot.
Looks hot.
Yeah, it looks awful. Now, is the mask makes it a lot worse, right, when you're in public and you got the mask on and it's 105 degrees?
Yeah, it is scorching right now.
How now, you got to wear the mask the whole time on the plane?
I went to sleep with my mask off, so it didn't bother me.
Yeah, man, you feel like you're suffocating with that shit. I hate it.
Yeah.
No, I only wear it when I get in the Uber. I know the Uber drivers, they make you wear it. So I get that. It's for them, and it's for me also. So I respect that, but besides that, I'm not wearing the mask.
Hey, listen, I am so excited. Congrats on being the main event, man. This is huge, dude. I'm excited. I want you to get that shine, man. I love watching you fight.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. It means a lot.
And this is,
you've looked really great, Curtis, too. Sorry, you've looked great since the Ngannou fight, which, again, you know, most people Francis catches, he has the ability to hurt. You've looked so great since that. Did anything change for you after that, or was it just he caught you with a shot and that was it?
Yeah, he just caught me with this, caught me in that button. You know, I haven't changed any of my game plan since that. I believe had he not caught me, the game plan would have worked. The boxing, the movement, the wrestling, it would have worked. It just didn't get an opportunity to, like, implement it.
Well, you must feel great about the TKO stoppages of two really good fighters, JDS and Abdurakhimov. I mean, those are tremendous guys, and the decision over Willis. You've looked really great.
Thank you. No, I'm very proud of my victory. I feel good. I feel like I've been growing in my striking. I've been growing in my footwork, and I've been able to put it on display.
I love it, man, because not only your danger, I mean, guys are going to watch your fight with Overeem. I'm sure JDS probably saw that fight. He's like, all right, look, I just can't get taken down. I'll be all right with my boxing. But you got heavy hands, man. It's not like you're a one-trick pony. So now guys are worried about getting that elbow from death. Yeah. That fucking that you did to the elbow of death that you did to Overeem. That they don't want to get taken down. And you're blasting them standing, man.
They were like, they were waving at me. I mean, they were saying,
tell your guys to shut up over there. Now I'm only kidding, Curtis.
I think after me beating Junior the way I did, people are going to respect my hands, which is going to open up the wrestling back up again. Because now when I pump fake with my hands, the hands are gonna come up. We have to respect it, and it's gonna make it easier to get to the hips.
Yeah. Do you like get sick of the grappler versus striker comparison, and it just it makes it seem like you're a one dimensional guy, which you're not.
I mean, hey, that means he's only gonna be defending half of my offense. That's fine with me.
Hey.
I'm gonna beg you to respect my hands. Even more respect, you ain't gotta respect me.
Hey, that kind of philosophy got me a fucking title, Curtis. They thought I was a jiu-jitsu man. You understand? You're so devastating with your grappling. Let them think that, man. I mean, JDS is a powerful boxer.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got a good chin. Curtis, I always say it, and it's not exactly something I came up with, but, you know, styles make fights. And you have Stipe going versus DC again, which is something I'm looking forward to. But I'll tell you right now, I would love to see you fight either one of those guys. I think would be amazing. You're like, yeah, no shit. I was going to ask, who do you think you match up better with? But first of all, how do you think you see that fight going?
Well, I mean, we've already seen both ends of the spectrum. We've seen DC get the knockout. We've seen Stipe get the knockout. So, honestly, it really depends on who's going to be the aggressor. They both already had a couple rounds with each other. They both already held each other out. They know their distance. They know the strength of the other guys. So I can't get in their heads. I don't know who's going to be like, you know what, I'm going to bring the fight to him. But I think that's who wins. Whoever just comes out harder and applies pressure early is going to be the one that wins.
Well, that second fight, you know, the first fight was DC caught him with that little shot. I mean, the little shot is a big shot. But again, anybody getting caught by another heavyweight can go down. That second fight, DC was dominating. And then Stipe just kept hitting him with that body shot. And Cormier admitted he didn't want to wrestle because he wanted to knock him out. And you wonder what would have happened if he had listened to his corner and kept up with the wrestling instead of going for the knockout. Would that have been a different fight?
That's a lesson. It's a lesson for me. Like, you always... You don't forget who you are. DC, you're an Olympic caliber wrestler. Why not use it? Or at least like present the option of like, oh, I might attack your legs, because this it opens up other offers. That's how I got Junior. Like, even though I wasn't able to get the takedowns, he was so aware and he was putting everything into defending that. It left his jaw wide open. I think DC should take a page out of that book.
Yeah.
Use some high-low action, maybe sneak in an uppercut or something.
It's called, Jimmy, what Curtis is saying is like it's keeping them guessing. Because I like when Curtis is fighting. When you go to faint, sometimes he does a little bend in his knees. So those guys are thinking a lightning shot is going to come. Yeah. And then all of a sudden he fucking blasts them. So I love the way it's very – if people aren't looking for it, they're not going to know. But what I love the little bend in your knees. I try to tell my guys that too. Just do a little bend. They're not going to know, are you switching levels? Are you striking? You're keeping them guessing. And exactly what happened, like you said, what happened with JDS, man. So concerned of that shot. And then booyah, Jimmy.
Yep.
Curtis Blaydes laying down soup bones. I'm hoping
that's how this one goes also. I'm hoping that Volkov's going to be so attentive to protecting his hips that he's going to drop his hands and I can get another knockout. I'm not opposed to getting knockouts, but I just prefer to wrestle.
Yeah, and so you might have had the exact opposite. And again, it's easy to look back on a fight and say, well, why didn't Cormier do this? I mean, but you always have to remember who you're fighting too. And Stipe has tremendous power. I mean, he knocked out Verdum going backwards. I mean, so Stipe is got hands and people can't figure.
It's not like he can't wrestle either, Jimmy. I was going to say,
Absolutely. Of course.
Because people were saying, hey, why doesn't DC just put him down? It's like, well, DC
is easier said than done. Yeah.
Not that easy.
I just think that by that point, he might have. I was surprised he didn't. I remember being surprised that he was taking, especially when he starts taking those body shots. I'm like, he wasn't doing anything to really neutralize those body shots, and you could see they were hurting him.
When I go against another wrestler, I'm not going to have that in my head. Like, oh, he wrestles also. That means I can't wrestle. I'm the best wrestler. I'm still going to wrestle you.
There's wrestling, and then there's wrestling for MMA. I mean, you can have the best hips in the world. You can't sprawl up against the cage.
It's not the same.
You know what I mean? You can't.
DC is probably a better pure wrestler than me, but I think that my wrestling translates better into the octagon. I'm not doing duck unders. I'm not doing ankle picks. I'm not doing even a single leg. I'm only doing double legs. Double legs and getting behind, hitting you with the suplex.
Now, how many? Now, let me ask you, because we've seen you devastating on top, ground and pound. You've seen your powers in the hand, in your hands, and your strikes. How often are you working from guard? Are you putting people mounted on you, Curtis? Don't bullshit us.
Oh yeah. No. I work bottom guard, bottom half. I work it. I just don't expect to be there, but I work it. No, I want to be proficient everywhere. I don't want to have you don't want to have any holes. You want to be comfortable everywhere. And like one of the things that my jiu-jitsu coach is always bringing up is like stress inoculation. Like you want to be able to be in the bad spot and not panic. When you panic is that's usually what happens to guys. They get underneath me and they start to panic, and that's when I'm able to land elbows.
Create that feeling.
Now,
right?
When you face another wrestler, when you face another wrestler, you don't think of it that way. And the fight I go to in my head is Colby against Kamaru Usman. Both guys, yeah. People expected that to be on the ground. And it was almost like they both stayed so far away because they felt they were so. I wonder, what do you think that thinking is? Is it that they're both so evenly matched, they don't want a chance losing in that arena to the other guy?
Yeah, I think it was just like DC and Stipe. They both was like, oh, he's a good wrestler. I'm a good wrestler. I don't want to burn a lot of energy trying to take down this guy who has good hips. But I think it's always like it's worth it. Whatever energy you spent trying to get him down is going to pay off because he had to defend you. And if you got him down, that means he had to burn just as much energy. And if you're on top, that's an opportunity to not rest, but to, you know, like recharge. That's what I use my wrestling. Well, I'm not down to the rest, but it lets me like recharge my legs because I'm on top of you and your energy is going down and I'm kind of coming back up.
Now, are you you're fighting in Vegas, the main event. Now, are you a little bummed that you're not getting to go to Fight Island, or are you happy to be staying where you are?
I went to Abu Dhabi last year against Abdulhamov. It was a dope experience, but it was hot in August. I can only imagine how hot it's going to be in July.
Right. So you're in Vegas. You're happy for where you are. Well, listen, man, we love watching you fight. You've looked so great. And before the Francis bump in the road, you had, I think, five wins in a row, and plus no cut. So you've looked so great. Just, you know, one.
There's one, only two hiccups. That's it. Yeah. You know, we make an example of this guy. And an example of the other guy, we're back in a title contention.
I see one real hiccup because the first one was a doctor stoppage, I believe. Am I correct? The first, So
I wanted that last round. They just wouldn't give it. To me. I wanted that last round. I think he was breaking. He was so tired because I took him down twice. He got up, but he had to burn so much energy getting up. I knew that last round, if I could get him back down again, I could have held him down the whole round and. Maybe I could have won because I know
the courtyard.
Some people had it 1-1 going into the third. I could have won that last round, and that changes the whole trajectory of my career.
Well, I take that back. One hiccup.
Yeah.
You're right, Jimmy. You're right, man.
Stop it. Just stop it. Yeah.
And I love it because, like we do, not to beat a dead horse with it, how devastating Curtis is on the floor. He never looks desperate to get it there. And that's crucial. You know what I mean? So, hey, man, I can't wait to the fight this weekend. Yep. You know, I'm looking forward to you in the main event. You deserve that type of spotlight and that kind of showcase. And I hope you shine, buddy.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, man.
Okay, Curtis. We'll talk to you again, okay?
Take care, Curtis.
All right, be well. All right, buddy. Be good.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Talk to the co-main event, showing Shane Burgos. Oh, there he is. I'm excited, man. I'm excited for your fight. And for a guy 6-1 in the UFC, only one loss to the very dangerous Calvin Gaethje, you know, again, we want to give you a spotlight, man. Because, I mean, you're a hell of a fighter, dude.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
This morning, I was just telling little Jimmy Bird, I watched your last fight with Americani. Okay? And let me tell you, a lot could be said about a fighter when you see him just steamrolling guys, you know?
Yeah.
But I like seeing how fighters deal with a rough round, deal with some adversity, deal with getting cut and then taken down where you're over and over, but not getting discouraged between rounds, going on to win the next round. And then, like I told Jimmy earlier, putting clearly ahead in the third round with Americani, you have the fight in the bag, but you put a fucking stamp on it, Shane. That's what I like. That's what Tiger fucking Showman likes.
Hey, exactly. That's exactly right? What I wanted to do. Like, I knew I was up on the scorecards, but fuck that. I'm not trying to win. I'm not trying to get like skate by on the decision. I wanted to put a, like you said, put a stamp on that one.
And also, I want to give credit to Danny Showman, you know, and his brother Ron. Right? Those guys, they don't get enough credit for their corner work. I like seeing Danny in the corner because he gets very animated, kind of like myself. You know, and it amps me up. I fucking love it.
But it must be like a tri-state thing, honestly. That's what I say. A New York, New Jersey kind of thing.
It's so funny, man.
You guys do corner kind of similar. It's funny.
And it's
Sorry, are you in a? You're in a casino right now.
No, I mean we're in the fat. What is it, Planet Hollywood Mall? But
oh, the mall. That is an indoor sky. Because I'm looking. I'm like, that's where the fuck is he? That's a weird dusk. And oh, you are in. Okay, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
all right.
But the entire mall is fucking closed. So we're just walking around like aimlessly right now. I don't understand.
Yeah, this is your first time in fighting in Vegas. Is it your first time actually in Vegas?
No, I've been to Vegas a bunch of times. I was just here back in March, right before this whole COVID shit happened. But this is my first time fighting in the outside of the Northeast Coast. All my fights have been in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Boston, and I had one in Ottawa, Canada. This is the first time I'm really anywhere outside of the Northeast.
It was somebody else too, Matt. Who did we just interview on Monday? It's their first time fighting in Vegas. And honestly, it's not a bad time, it seems, because the distractions that Vegas would normally provide, which I don't know about you, but I'm a weak man when I'm on the road and the distractions work on me. You don't have them there. So you kind of have to focus on what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly. There's not much to do besides this kind of stuff. We're walking around aimlessly. There's not that many spots open. So it's kind of... It's like, it's cool, but then it's kind of boring at the same time. But honestly, if Vegas is wide open right now, it would make it a lot harder.
It would. Yeah. Like the Crazy Horse is a fun distraction. The places like that. Now, what did you go for in March? Was it a bachelor party or just a vacation?
No, just a bit. It was a traincation. Me and Lyman fighting Saturday too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Lyman,
make an appearance on the show. Hey.
Hey, man.
It's so funny. What's up, Lyman?
We were here back in March.
Oh, okay.
And it's awesome, man. How does it feel? Because I fought many times with Pete Drago selling on the same card. How great is it when you have a teammate on the card? Do you guys like that?
I like it. How do you like it?
I love it, man. It's the energy in the room is unreal. You know, everybody's hyped because we're all training together. You feel it in the mat. You know?
And Lyman, let me ask you what we got you there. How are you feeling, man? It's so weird because you're one of the first fighters that have been like, oh, man, Lyman got tested positive for the COVID. How hard did it hit you? Were you one of those guys that didn't really show symptoms, or were you like feeling you're on death's door type of thing?
It did put me out of commission for a few days. Honestly, I was I didn't have the cough and you know, all the symptoms that everybody was talking about. So that's why I was confused. I just kind of chalked it up to at the time I was training for the Bilal fight originally. So I thought it was just, all right, maybe I'm overtrained. You know, I'm feeling like shit this morning. And then whatever. Then it was just bad. It was like to a point where I couldn't even get myself out of bed because I was just weak. I had a lot of achiness in my body. But honestly, Matt, after that, like it just felt like a really bad flu. That was it, man.
Okay.
I bounced back from it. And I was just ready. You know, as soon as I got the negative test results, I was ready to go back into training and, you know, get back out there and do my thing.
Are you happy you've been through it already now? Because like the rest of the people, everybody's kind of panicking about it, but you've already been through there. You've seen what it is. And now you're kind of on the other side of it. So you have to worry probably a little less than other people do.
100%. I think there's this fear factor of it. You know, when you don't know what it is, what the enemy is, you're more afraid of it, right? So there's all this craziness and all this hype about the virus going on. And, you know, through the media and the news, we're just hyping up the fear effect of it. But since I had it already and I beat it, it really wasn't as big a deal as, you know, as
making it out to be.
then, you know, I'm walking around like it's normal, like it's fine, you know. But
yeah. Now, let me ask you, now people are more, they know what's going on more, you know what I'm saying? But in the beginning, when this first happened, were people treating you like a fucking leper? Be honest. Did they not want to go near you? How was it? It must have been weird.
You know what? The surprising thing happened was after I got the virus, I went public with it. I started getting a lot of messages from people who actually had it as well. And it was surprising to me. It was surprising to me to hear the stigma of the virus, or if you had the virus, the stigma that came along with it. Yeah. A lot of people were like, yo, I'm glad to hear you beat it. I also had it. But they were kind of like almost like scared to let people know, you know, like
it's cooties, like you don't
want
anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like there's a shame to it. And I'm like, you know, like trying to, I'm encouraging people, and it was just surprising to see the response that I got from it, because then people were asking me for either help, or asking me for advice. Yeah, they were just, you know, as someone who has a platform to be able to publicly talk about it, they were reaching out to me to ask like how I dealt with it and stuff, you know. So I was surprised by that, the stigma of, you know, if you had the virus, like now you gotta stay away from them forever.
How long did you feel lousy for, like really lousy, like a week?
Honestly, through and through, I had it for about 2 weeks, but the worst of it was probably like 3 days.
Oh, okay.
3 days I was bedridden.
No,
weird though. He got it right after we got back from Vegas back in March. And me and him were training so much, and then one of our coaches got it, then another one of our coaches got it, and I was with them, and I was like, oh, shit, I definitely have it. And I was like, damn, I'm scared to tell my wife. I'm like, she's going to be pissed. And I was like, oh, my God, here we go. And nothing, no symptoms. I got the antibody test, nothing, never had it. So it's just weird because it is so contagious. Like, he got it, and I was grappling, wrestling, just sparring with him, and I didn't get shit.
You have kids? You have kids, Shane, or no?
Yeah, I have a daughter.
How old?
She's 3.
Ah, that's cute, man. I got 3 daughters. Yeah. Yep. Well, I mean, I would always be scared of, like, because me, I wouldn't give a fuck, but my friends would be like, oh, but our daughters, they have respiratory issues. And you know, but listen, man, I don't know. I think a lot of this shit's fun. I mean, listen, I don't want to downplay it for people that are like, yo, I lost an uncle or some shit.
Exactly.
But I think a lot of shit's fucking political and whatever.
I completely agree with you. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings in that sense, but I completely agree.
Kind of in the same boat where I'm like, you know, I'm like in a weird boat, actually, because I had it. I'm on the other side of it.
Yeah.
You know, even then, I'm still sometimes I got to be wary about what I say and around who, because people have lost family members. You know, I lost my dad a few weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, man.
Thank you. They he had respiratory problems, like what you're saying before. But of course, they're going to rule it as, you know, it's COVID or whatever. It's fucking crazy. It's like, he just wasn't healthy. You know, my dad was an out person to begin with, but it is what it is. You know, I just got to be, it's such a politically correct atmosphere that we're in now. You got to be careful about what you say. You know?
Yeah.
Was this totally unexpected, him passing, or did you guys kind of know that it might be happening?
I feel like it was a matter of time. I knew he wasn't healthy. He drank and he smoked, you know, most of his life. So it was just a matter of when, I guess, you know. But, yeah.
Do you guys teach full-time, or do you have schools, or are you just fighting?
I teach full-time. I own a school in downtown Manhattan. So
you're on the west side, right?
Yes, sir.
So I started going to Jimmy's place on the east side. I just started, and your name had come up, but you were on the west side, so it was easier for me to go where he is. And I hope it opens soon.
On 23rd and 6th. Jimmy's on 20. No, I'm sorry. He's on 23rd between Madison and Park. I'm on 22nd and 6th. But yeah, we're close to each other.
Well, Jimmy,
online classes. You know, I'm trying to do as much as I can for my students. I want to give them a platform and, you know, give them an outlet to deal with all this crazy bullshit that's going on right now. So I've just been doing a lot of online classes, Zoom classes, trying to stay as active as I can with my students, you know, keep that connection.
I did some of that. I got one of my students, Jason Rao, doing that. But did you, what pure jujitsu, it's fucking tough, man.
Yeah.
You got to strangle somebody. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, when I open up my schools, it's not going to be with fucking masks. You're not going to be grappling with a dummy. We're strangling people. That's what we got to do. Otherwise, we're all bullshitting each other here. You know, I mean, who's yelling at you guys? You guys good?
No.
I saw you guys looking.
Okay. We're in Vegas, and the gyms here are basically all open.
Yeah, well, man. Florida, too. Texas. Everybody's doing their thing, man. Yeah, this New York governor, man, this guy could take a flight.
Florida's taking a little bit of a beating, though. Like, they're actually going through where they're, like, a little too open. Like, they've kind of – they're getting a lot of people are getting – a little bit too much they're doing in Florida.
Man, hey, listen, we can talk about the pandemic, all the fucking virus all day long. Let's get back to the fighting. Now, really quick, for both you guys, it's funny, man. Tiger Shulman, right, and from the East Coast here – you know, Jimmy, I'm not sure. Well, Jimmy's actually a member now of Tiger Shulman. Now he's training with Jimmy Rivera. But it's funny because you'll see their marketing and you see how successful these schools are. They're all clean and they got the kids. But as I'm talking about, as far back as I can remember, would be cornering fighters. And it would a lot of times I'm in one corner and Danny, Tiger Shulman's on the other. Always badasses coming out of Tiger Shulman's. It's almost misleading because – you look at the thing and you go, oh, look at that. It might be like a McDojo. And I don't mean it's the wrong way. It's not. It's not a McDojo. Oh, you look at that and you're like, oh, that's very mainstream or that is what that is. But I'm telling you, from day one, when I was cornering Luke Cuomo versus fucking, Nick, he's a ref. Who? No, Nick Pace came in a little bit later. I'm
Nick
talking about
Cannon.
No, motherfucker. Anyway, he's a judge now. He actually is like a judge for I feel bad. I'm forgetting the guy's name. Might not even be Nick. But anyway, Tiger Shulman always produced badasses. So I like now that they're finally saying that you see it now. Like, you know what I mean? You see those signs. That, how did you guys get involved with it? Is that your first school that you walked into?
For me, it's the first school. It just so happened, like, when I was in high school, and one of my friends, we were watching Ultimate Fighter. We found a spot that was local that taught BJJ and kickboxing. So I was like, oh, shit, what's that? And he was like, it's Tiger Shulman's. And I thought the same thing. I was like, isn't that a karate, like, for kids place? And he was like, oh, they have, like, kickboxing, they have jiu-jitsu. And I was like, all right, it's a month. Let's just try the month trial out. Try it out. I didn't miss one class from that day on, and I've been with the same team ever since.
That's great, man. And yeah. It really is like a one-stop shop, man. You got everything there, you know?
Exactly,
and you guys are always well-rounded, man.
Yeah,
it's not like, oh, man, these guys are desperate to get it to the floor. These guys are desperate to keep it up. Well-rounded. Is that just come from the top? Is that Danny Shulman and Ron?
The coaches we have. We have great jiu-jitsu coaches, great wrestling coaches, great striking coaches. Not just striking when it comes to, like, kickboxing, because obviously his kickboxing is what he's known for. But we got a great boxing coach that doesn't really get that much shine. But you probably know him, Ray Velez.
Oh, 100%. Yes, yeah, I like running into him at the events.
Yeah, he's hilarious. He'll be here tomorrow.
Well, you guys are both fighting on Saturday. And also, Uriah Hall was a Tiger Shulman guy. I don't think he is now. Is he fighting? Is it this week he's fighting? Or no, he's got – he just – it looks like August against Yoel Romero. Okay.
I mean, listen, Josh Emmett – I mean, I know, listen, you took out Cub Swanson. He's a big name. You took out Cub, you know. But Josh Emmett is probably the next guy that's – most popular guy that you're fighting. What is he? Is he ranked number eight? What is he?
Yeah, eight.
Yeah. So he's ranked above you. This is huge, man.
Yeah.
Josh Emmett, he took off some heads.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling, like, knowing that you're going versus the guy ranked above you and a dangerous dude like Josh Emmett?
I'm excited about it, man. It's one of those. First of all, I'm the co-main event, so that right off the bat gets me excited. Second of all, the matchup, that stylistic matchup. The guy comes in, he throws heat, he looks for the knockout. He's exciting in his own right. That matchup just excites me in and of itself, too. So, and then the fact you add that he's ranked number eight. So I win this fight. It's a co-main event fight. I beat the number eighth guy. I go out there and I make a statement. It's going to put me in a prime position for my next fight.
Fuck yeah, it does.
But we're looking forward to it, man. There's a great main event with Blades and Volkov. Yep. And, of course, Lyman against Bilal Muhammad. Jim Miller against Roosevelt Roberts is a great opening fight.
That's a good fight, yeah.
And, of course, Pennington against Marion Renault is the third fight up. So, good luck, man. It's good talking to both you guys. And Lyman, we're happy that you're we didn't know you'd be around together. So, Tom, we're happy that he's doing well.
I'll tell him. He had to go. We're drinking a lot of water, so he had to take a piss.
But no, piss. Yeah, I understand. I pissed three times during this taping, so I understand.
We used to Jimmy's bird bladder. Don't worry. We used to that. Hey, Shane, all our best, man. Tell Lyman we said goodbye. We'll be watching this weekend, man.
Yeah, have a good fight.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one, all right?
All right, take care, man.
Tell Danny I said hi.
Danny, I will. Do more. All right, brother. Thank you.
Take care, man.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I say we do picks. I'm excited for this week. Now I'm amped up to do picks.
Okay.
Well, you know what?
I wanted to do picks, actually. Okay, over them. Blades against Volkov.
Can I just start off, though, Jimmy? I just want to throw something at you here. The undercard, the prelims are really nice, Jimmy.
Yeah. Bobby Green, Clay Guida, yes.
Both guys, never in a boring fight.
Frivola, Frank Camacho.
Fuck yeah, man. Steamroller is back. That's in a very exciting fight. I'm looking forward to all these. Who was I just
Lauren looking? Murphy against Roxanne Modafferi. I like Roxanne a lot because people always, because she's so nice.
And she's a little, you know what it is? Her stances, and she could be a little awkward in her style. But she's efficient, man. You know, Macy Barber she took out.
That's who I'm thinking of, Macy Barber.
That's who you're thinking of.
That is the most recent, right?
That is the most recent.
Okay, yeah.
And people were counting her out. And then, know what happened? Macy Barber, who we like, her father is like, oh, he put out a thing, and I don't want to, you know, I'm sure the guy's a nice guy. You know, he's going to go in the bat for his daughter, but he's like, he gave like a little, he wrote down like a little, a pick-me-up speech or whatever, and he was in there saying, yeah, it's upsetting when you don't lose to a better opponent, but you lose to circumstances, something like that. I'm kind of paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Blaming it on an injury. And sure. I was like, womp, womp, womp. Yeah. Don't do that shit.
First loss, too. She was 8-0.
Don't do that shit, Daddy. Don't do it.
Do you mean me? Is that your nickname for me?
That, Jimmy, that's what you say. It's not
okay. My nickname. Okay, sure.
Where, you want to start top or bottom?
Matt, come on.
Jimmy.
Let's.
Miller.
That's fresh.
Let's go.
Jim Miller. This is a good fight. Roosevelt Roberts, you know why he fought at the end of May? Roosevelt Roberts, let me see here. Because we just were talking about him. I don't know why I felt like we were talking about him 2 weeks ago. Maybe time is just flying by very quickly. But he had a good fight against Brock Weaver. It was May 30th. Second round submission, rear naked choke. All right, against Jim Miller, who is coming off of a round one submission of Clay Guida and a decision loss to Holtzman. It's always hard to bet against Jim Miller for me. Roberts, 10 years younger.
Hot young prospect versus the cagey veteran. This is what I say. I'm going to say, and sometimes I bet with my heart. I'm not going to lie to you, Jimmy.
Sure.
I'm going to be totally honest. And I'm an old school fighter. And I'm just old school. I'm going with Jim Miller.
Okay.
And I'm going to go by Jim Miller. By decision.
Okay.
I know, Jimmy. I know.
Tough fight.
It's a tough fight.
Roosevelt Roberts, second round stoppage.
See, Jimmy, now you got me going. Now you're making me reconsider. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna. Oh no, I'm not flip flopping. I'm not jumping off no fucking bandwagons or nothing. I'm not right. Doing that. I'm gonna say Jim Miller, second round stoppage. How do you like them apples?
It's good. I like when we pick the different.
I just lost my school, Jimmy. I'm sorry. I don't want to.
It's okay, man. I'm with you.
Okay, I'm back.
Bilal Muhammad against Lyman Good. I can't bet against a fellow Tiger Shulman guy.
I bet you can. And it feels weird because I just talked to those guys and I like those guys. But every time I see this Bilal Muhammad, first of all, I like the way he fights. I do. Mm-hmm. And I just, every time I see him, I give his bro hugs all over the place. Yeah. I don't know. I really like this Bilal Muhammad.
Me so too.
And I like Lyman good too, you know, East Coast guy. But, and these guys are both studs. They really are like two fucking He-Man figures fighting there. They're both made out of like granite. But yeah. I'm going to say, Bilal Muhammad by decision.
Okay. I will take Lyman Good by decision. He did lose to Damian Maia by a first round sub two fights ago.
Damian Maia could do that to anybody.
Think he'd do that to anybody. So yeah, I'll take Lyman by a submission. I'm sorry, by a decision.
All right. Okay, Jimmy. Agree to disagree.
We can agree on some of these. Raquel Pennington, Marion Renault. Now, Pennington's coming off a decision loss to Holly, coming off a couple of losses from Marion Renault. Now, there's an 11-year age difference. Again, that doesn't always mean something, but sometimes it can. I am going to take a Pennington by submission, third round.
I'm going to say Raquel Pennington by decision.
You may be right.
You may be crazy. It's Billy Joel. All right, listen to me. Josh Emmett, Jimmy.
Shane Burgos.
And Shane Burgos.
Josh Emmett has looked pretty
good. Josh Emmett's fucking... Josh Emmett is brutal. But this is what I think is going to happen. Shane Burgos, I mean, look, he's one of those guys a little under the radar, man. This is his, hey, I'm here. This is him. This is his coming out party over here. You know what I mean? This is people are going to be like, oh, my goodness. He knows he's fighting a guy higher ranked than him. And he knows what this means. And meanwhile, Josh Emmett's like, all right, I'm fighting Shane Burgos. You know, I'm higher ranked than him. Might not be how he thinks. And he is an alpha male. This is a good one. There's a reason why this is the co-main. You know? But you know what? I know you're going with Josh Emmett. I'm going to go with Shane Burgos.
I'm going to go with Shane as well.
I'm going to go with Shane. What are you going to do?
I'm going to take Shane by decision. I mean, Josh Emmett has been stopped.
I'm going Shane by decision as well. Only because I think Josh Emmett's very durable.
Yeah. I mean, Jeremy Stevens stopped him. Jeremy Stevens did stop him. But again, Jeremy Stevens stops a lot of people.
Yeah, Jeremy Stevens, he might have got stopped by Calvin Kattar, but he went after him like the guy kicked his fucking dog or something, man. He was nuts.
Oh, God.
Jeremy Stevens is going, he's winning or he's just getting taken out, but he's a fucking caveman. He's going forward and he's just going to terminate. So, I mean, that could happen to anybody. But,
all right, listen. Curtis Blaydes. Now, I'm going to take Blaydes.
Wait, hold on. You didn't guess the other one.
Sure, I did. Decision. Shane Burgos by decision.
I have a very bad memory. Okay. You know, you just said it. And, all right, listen, let's get to the main event. Man, this is exciting, Jimmy. Oh, man, this is exciting. But this is what I'm going to say. Wow. And you know what's really screwed up is Alexander Volkov was looking good in that Derek Lewis fight. Remember? Yeah. He was looking good.
Yeah, but he was.
Say hello to Curtis Blaydes. I'm high on Curtis Blaydes. I think he's really good. Really good. And the fact, I mean, even what he was just saying there, I said he had two hiccups. Nah, maybe not. I mean, that first fight, who knows how it would have ended with him in Francis. So
yeah.
I think before you know it, Curtis Blaydes is going to be back into talks of fighting for the title. And I think that he's gonna win this one by, I'm going to say third round stoppage.
I'm going to give Curtis second round stoppage.
One up me. Go ahead.
Volkov. I mean, it's a 5-round fight, so I'm going to say Curtis second round.
I know what you said. I'm saying third round. Jimmy, I'm sorry. I had to call a bunch of my black belts this morning and let them know what's happening with my life.
I'm glad you're okay. Listen, I'm
an open book, Jimmy. You know? So I will, you know, I will persevere. Am I using that word too much today?
No. No, it's a good word.
Jimmy, we're going to be okay. You know? And, all right, listen, let's do a proper plug for the fights. And while people, if they have nothing else to do this weekend or during the week, they could go and watch Equilibrium, a hidden gem.
Sure.
Are you going to watch it, Jimmy?
No. No.
Why do you shit on my movie picks?
I'm not at all.
Well, why? What do you have to do? What do you have to do instead of, you don't have 2 hours to go watch that movie or somewhere? You can break it up, watch a little and chip
away. I'll give it a shot.
No, listen, no way, hold on. No, don't give it a shot now. Fuck it. Don't enjoy it. I'm trying to have you. I'm giving you my, you're just shitting on it. I know, listen, Vikings, that's a hard commitment. 6 seasons. It's a fucking movie, man. You don't gotta, I know you're busy with all your, you know. All right, listen, don't watch it. Anybody else, if you're bored, watch it. Hit me in my DMs. Let me know if you like it or not.
Yeah. All right.
Jimmy, I listen, man. I do miss you, buddy.
I miss you.
I'm sure that we'll text throughout the. You know what? I'll wait for you to text me during the fights. Sometimes what I do, because I'm assuming that you're not out at a comedy club or not out, you know, doing any your perverted. I don't know what you're doing. You're not on the road. So I'm thinking you have time. You're watching the fights when I'm watching them. So last time I'm like, Mackenzie Dern with the leg lock. And you're like, I'm watching later. And I totally ruined the excitement of the fit. You know, I ruined it for you. I'm not going to do that again. So if you want to text me during the fights, feel free. Because God knows I'm not doing anything.
Oh, I will. I'll be happy to.
All right, Jimmy. Listen, the fights are this weekend, everybody. What time are the fights this weekend?
It's 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And I will be talking to you by Saturday night. And everybody else, thank you to our Unfiltered Army. Because, you know, listen, we don't say it enough, but we appreciate you. Don't we, Jimmy?
Yes, we do.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.